Good morning. What's up? Yeah. Y'all doing all right? It's the best amen I've ever gotten, brother. Hoo-ah to you, even though I don't have the right to say that. Hopefully that's not something that gets me on that list. It's good to see you guys. I'm glad to be here. Merry Christmas. We continue today to celebrate Advent. And last week, if you were with us, we tackled the first 7 verses of Luke 2. And in that, we saw the account of the birth of Jesus. We witnessed the telling of his advent, which means his coming. And as we celebrate this season, okay, it's not just one day. We look forward to this. We remember his coming, his first coming. But it's also time for us to celebrate and look toward his second coming. And so today, we join in with the voice of John the Revelator, the apostle, who says, "Lord Jesus, come quickly." Man, a restored and new earth, I'm in. So we pray for his coming. When he is, we see him and we're like him. All these promises that are in the scripture of this worldwide kingdom and this worldwide peace being extended to all man, that's what I am looking forward to. But we get to live in the reality of it today, in this tension in between his first and his second advent. So we have reason to rejoice and we have reason to hope. We have anticipation and we have fulfillment. Advent is awesome, right? So we are glad that you're here with us today. My name is Nathan Loxley. If this is the first time with us, I'm one of the pastors here. We are glad that you're here. If it's not, then you know how ridiculous and goofy I am. I'm going to do my very best to 2 things. One, not cry as much as I did last week. I almost got the man card revoked, so I'm going to have to ease up on that. The council, they were not happy with how much, but they let it go. And so the other thing this week that I'm going to try to do is not take 2 hours, but only about 1 hour and 45 minutes to get through what we are going to cover today. So, hey, football season's almost over. And honestly, unless you're in the finals of your fantasy football league, then I don't care because I'm not in the one I care about. So you don't get to go watch either. No, I'm really honored to get to talk to you, to get to preach today. I've just been so encouraged with the word of God over the past 2 weeks. And it's just so cool. And I want to invite you to read it. Not like with me right now, but on your own. And I just want to invite you to read it. We know that reading the scriptures doesn't gain us favor in God's eyes, but it transforms who we are more and more into the image of Christ. It changes who we are for the good. And in turn, it brings us great joy. And that's how I felt. This past week was a little bit harder week. I think I was being attacked a little bit. It was tough. I have what I call a couple of bummer kind of days. Y'all have bummer kind of days? Man, there's 2 days this week that were, they were just a bummer. And it wasn't like huge, big, life-changing crisis type stuff, but it was like, oh man, that's a bummer. Like stuff getting canceled you were excited about, or kid not feeling good, right? Bad hair day. I'm just kidding. Bad beard day. Those are worse. Those are way worse. Bummer. Bummer to bad beard day. But I'll tell you what, the scripture still stands true. And it tells us that it doesn't return void. It doesn't return without making a difference somehow. And I feel like as I've kind of soaked in it and thought about it, there's been some things in my own life that have just been brought to the surface. And I'm having to, me and Jesus are having talks right now about. So I'm excited to get to share some of this stuff to you. I want to do this though. I want to tell you that the words that are going to come out of my mouth are not powerful. God's words are powerful. And if you feel something today, if something happens while you sit in here and you're hearing God's word being preached today, it is nothing that I'm saying. There's nothing good about me. Trust me. Trust me. Ask my wife. Not that great. But the Holy Spirit and God's word is powerful. And so listen to it today. That's my challenge I'm going to start with. Listen to him today. Allow and be aware that God actually might talk to you today. I don't mean like audibly. You're not going to hear, "Jonathan, go fetch me a cup of coffee, son. You're not going to hear that, right? But you'll know. So I pray that you're open to that. Me and my wife are having a busy week as well because we're about to have our third child. And we found out that this week that my wife will be induced here in about a week and a couple of days, which is almost 2 weeks early, which turned my terror into just, I passed out. I was already scared about having a third kid, and now I have to have it 2 weeks earlier. Like, I'm not ready for this. I've had two already. I get it, but I'm that much older now. It's harder, and I'm not ready. So it adds to kind of the week. But it got me thinking this week about kind of our culture and having babies. And I remember when we had our first child, we took pictures together when she was pregnant. And then after the baby, we took pictures and we took our firstborn, our son Noah, and we stuffed him in a guitar case with it open and took pictures of him in it. And it was all cool. And then we have it printed up on these cards and we sent it to people. You know what that's called? A birth announcement. Now, I have a feeling that we were on the front end of doing this cool little picture thing. And I'm saying we're not the originators of it, but we were on the front end of that. And so I started to kind of think about what it's like now that we're having a third child. And the culture of celebrating births by announcing them has completely changed since our first kid. Let me give you an example. I have seen people send out like 15 different birth announcements for one kid. And it has to do with something every single day. Oh, we're going to have a baby. We're pregnant, right? That's number one. Then number two is, we're going to have a baby. I'm nesting. And then next is, we're going to have a baby. I hate this guy, right? And then next is, we had a baby. And there's a picture of mom like, oh gosh, right? And there's baby and dad's like giving the thumbs up. Then the next one is we have professional pictures taken and we get them sent out. Then when baby has its first dirty diaper, we send out another announcement because you need to know that too. Rejoice with us. He can use the potty, right? I mean, that's what it is. And we see this culture of we celebrate a lot of different things. Birth announcement after birth announcement after birth announcement. Shower after shower after shower. I've done away with showers. Now, and I don't mean like cleaning myself. I try to be hygienic. I mean like baby showers. I told my wife, I'm like, look, I appreciate all the people that give us things, but I can't be there. I think bad thoughts at those. So she very gracefully said, please don't come. So I don't. But man, we're excited about when babies arrive, aren't we? You remember back in the day when the kind of the perception was dad's waiting out in the waiting room, pacing around. And the doctor comes out and says, it's a boy. And then he passes out cigars. Every single time that's going on, and you see that in a movie or in a cartoon or something, what's dad doing? Furiously pacing and smoking, right? Dude smokes all the time because he's nervous. He's anticipating this baby. He's waiting for the announcement. And as soon as he gets the announcement, he shares the good news. It's a boy, right? So today, as we open up our Bibles to Luke 2, we will see God's great announcement of the birth of his son. If you don't have a Bible, raise your hand and we will hook you up. If you don't own a Bible, please, it's our gift to you. Take it home. We want you to own it. So yes, do that. While they're doing that, if you have one, open it with me to Luke 2. Last week, we went through verses 1 through 7, where we actually heard the account of Jesus' birth. We heard about Joseph and Mary taking a long trip because Caesar Augustus called for a census for everyone to be registered so he could tax them. So they went from Nazareth to Bethlehem. We also saw that what happened on that trip, potentially. It was a long and hard trip, especially for a young pregnant girl. Then by the time they get there, there's no room in the inn, so she has to have this baby, this promised baby, who is the Son of God, in a manger, in an animal pen. And she wraps him in some cloth and she puts him in a manger, which is a feeding trough for animals. So we kind of looked at that and we wondered, man, why would God send his own son and allow him to be born in a manger in a podunk town to poor people? We saw that it was all part of his plan, because this plan starts in the manger and ends on the cross. And 2 Corinthians 8, 9 basically says that he gave away his riches and he became poor so that we could become rich by his poverty. So we see that it's all a part of this big plan. And for our sake, for God's people, Jesus was born in this manner. So now this baby is born and we're back to the story. Time for God to tell somebody. Turn with me, verse 8. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. Let's go ahead and start here. Let's look at this. What's going on? So close to Bethlehem, let's say that, in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. Real quick, I know we paint mental pictures of what we think stories look like, and it's awesome to be able to do that, use our imagination. But this is a real story, right? This isn't a fairy tale. This really happened in a real place on a real day. So let's kind of have a look at what this might have looked like. This is a shepherd close to Bethlehem with a flock of sheep. And I know it's a little bit grainy. You can't see everything perfectly. But I mean, you've seen one sheep, you've seen them all. White sheep, black sheep, whatever, right? That's it. But look, see, when I picture shepherds watching their flock by night, I picture them being in this like beautiful green grassland and the wind brushing over their face, right? Basically a chick flick, you know, like the setting for a chick flick, right? It's beautiful. It's a beautiful night, all this stuff. Look at this place. It's desolate. It's inhospitable. It's terrible. Just terrible. It's rocky and there's mountains and there's not a lot of grass. Trust me, those rocks don't make a great bed, but that's where these shepherds had to sleep every night. See, a shepherd was 100% devoted to his job because sheep needed him. Now, you might have heard that sheep are stupid, and you're mostly right. They are. And they need a leader. They're a flock animal. So they're always looking for something to lead them. If not, they'll walk right into like predators. In fact, sheep get so afraid that sometimes they'll just like heart attack, stroke out, something. They die. They'll get so fearful that they die. They've been known to walk off cliffs. So they need a leader. And so these shepherds would spend their entire lives devoted to sheep. Now, imagine you meet a shepherd. Probably not going to be Mr. Personality, right? He hangs out with sheep. He's named them. Seriously, he does. He names them. They talk. The sheep actually listen sometimes. This guy is uneducated. He sleeps on the dirt. He eats whatever he can find. He does not take showers, right? He is an outcast in the society that they're in. He's not the sharpest tool in the shed either, right? He's pretty dumb, probably. He's not special at all. He's not significant to the people around him. He knows sheep. And he devotes himself day and night. We see it here. They're in at night. They're watching their flocks. They had to, because that's when a lot of predators hunt. They're nocturnal. So their only job was making sure that things don't kill sheep, that the sheep don't eat anything poisonous, that the sheep don't fall off cliffs. This is their job day and night. That's right. Like, that's probably the conversations they have actually all day long. Right? Right? That's what they do all day long. This is their only thing that keeps them sustained, is watching sheeps. Sheeps. Man. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, verse 9. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. Now put yourself there. You got Bubba and his other brother, Bubba Shepherd. I imagine them being a little bit like Ernest P. World. Not kidding. That's probably what they're like. Hey, Vern. Right? So they're hanging out. Nothing ever happens exciting to them, ever. The most exciting thing to them is like when sheep pass gas. I mean, I can't think of anything that would be enjoyable other than when that happens for them to laugh at or something. This is terrible life. And all of a sudden, an angel of the Lord is standing in front of them. Now, could you imagine? Close your eyes and think about it. It's dark. There's no lights, like artificial lights at all. You can see just a sky full of stars. You're laying on your back with a piece of grass in your mouth because that's just how I picture them, go with it. And bam! Some dude is standing in front of you and he is not of this world. Now, let me ask you a question. If that's you, what's your response to this brother who just steps out of heaven and he's standing in front of you? They don't have carry permits, right? Back in this time and day. So my response probably would have been like, hey, right? What would yours have been? Oh, hey, look, an angel. No big deal. See those all the time. No, it would be a big deal, right? And so this angel of the Lord appears to them. And the glory of the Lord shines around them. And they're filled with fear. These insignificant little shepherds get to experience stepping into the glory of God. And what happens? Fear. Now, why do you think fear? A lot of us would say, man, I would love to be in the presence of God. I know I would. So why are they filled with fear? We see that the word glory, actually in the Hebrew, is kavod, which means heavy. And I don't know if you've ever been to somewhere like Manhattan, but when you stand amongst all the buildings there or in Times Square and you see all the things, you feel pretty small. You feel pretty insignificant. And I seriously doubt that if you ever stood at the edge of the Grand Canyon and looked out there that you would say, I am the center of the universe, right? You probably wouldn't. You'd feel quite small. Let me tell you that God is the creator of those things and he holds them in the palm of his hand. He is so much bigger than that. And then all of a sudden, all of his glory, the heaviness, the weight of his character, who he was, shone around them. In the presence of something huge, we know and understand that we are small. And in an instant, as they saw the very character and nature of God shine around them, they realized their character and nature. They saw themselves for who they really were in comparison to perfect. What's the response? Fear. Notice it says filled with fear. Have you ever been filled with fear? I bet you have. Like maybe you've been in a car accident and you go upside down or you're spinning and you don't know what's going to happen. Those moments when life flashes before your eyes. Maybe you thought like you're about to get attacked. Right? Someone's breaking into your house and there's that moment where you go, well, this is it. And you're filled with fear. What are you afraid of in that moment? Dying, right? You're afraid of dying, correct? Let me just kind of fill you in. Yeah, these shepherds, in a moment where the glory of God shines around them, they're afraid to die. But here's what's even more important. In a moment, they see how they have rebelled against a holy God. They see that they have turned away from him and become his enemy. And an enemy of God will one day be judged by God. So they know that their death being separated from this holy God means really, and why they were filled with fear, is not just death, but destruction. In a moment, they felt the weight of their own trespasses, their own sin. And you know what they saw in front of their face? What they saw for their future? Doom. Doom. It's the same thing that Moses saw, the same thing that Abraham saw. It's the same thing that Isaiah saw. It's the same thing that John the Revelator saw when the presence of God shone around them. They said, I'm going to die. And they fell. And this is what happened to the shepherds. They were filled with fear. You know what they were shown as? Just measly, humble shepherds. Outcast shepherds. Some days I feel like I'm a shepherd. And the days that I don't feel like I'm a shepherd, an undeserving, lowly, outcast, I'm just lying to myself. And in the weight of God's glory, and when I see him for who he is, and when any of us see him for who he is, and we are underneath his judgment, the response is terror filled with fear. The Greek is phobos, which means to panic and flee from. But there's no escaping this. They can't just walk out of the light. It shines in every far reach of their heart and basically judges them. Now that sounds like pretty bad news, doesn't it? Did I make that one like vivid enough? Bad news? They were in a bad spot. They had a reason to fear. What does the angel say to him right after that? Let's continue on. This is so cool, by the way. Y'all ready? Y'all ready? Here we go. And the angel said to them, fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Fear not. Here they are underneath the weight of crushing condemnation, and the angel's like, dude, chill out. Don't worry about it. Really? I don't see you in this glory getting all crushed down, being all judged. Fear not. They're filled with fear. Fear not, he says. Because I've got good news of great joy that will be for all the people. So don't fear. Because the news that I'm going to share with you in just a moment is really good. And instead of fear, I'm going to replace it with joy. The announcement of Jesus' birth, the announcement of Christmas, the message of Christmas is joy. God says, I will replace your fear with joy. Let's read on. Here's the news. Here's the baby announcement. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. That's it. That's what he says. One sentence, the baby announcement. Not 5 million Facebook posts. One verse. Or we read in Micah 5, we read this. But you, O Bethlehem, word I'm not going to attempt to pronounce so I don't look dumb. Who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel. Check this out, it's so cool. And he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall dwell secure. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth. This is my favorite part. And he shall be their peace. Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Check this part out. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. See, those birth announcements about Jesus were written 700 or 800 years before Jesus was born. God was on top of this birth announcement thing, y'all. You might think that you're good with correspondence and RSVPs and sending out thank you cards. Dude, God Almighty, he invented it, right? 700 or 800 years, he started announcing the birth of his son. Why? Why? Because it would be the greatest news that the world would ever hear. I'll tell you what, when you have like a vacation coming up, do you look forward to it? Who doesn't look forward to their vacations when they're coming up? Good. I can't call any of you liars specifically today. Because no one says, oh gosh, that's coming. I dread my vacation. No, it's awesome. And you tell everybody where you're going. And you go ahead and clear off pictures from your phone because you're going to Instagram the snot out of your vacation. Because you look forward to your vacation. You prepare for it. You gather supplies. I don't know. It's not like going on the Oregon Trail or anything. But you gather things. You pack. You get reservations. You think about things to do. You do research. You look forward to it. And God so looked forward to this moment. Why? He could not wait. He did. He waited for the fullness of time. But he was so excited about being able to say, there's good news, shepherd. You who are fearful, there is good news, and I'm going to replace that with joy. Because today, this very day, my son is born in the city of Bethlehem, the city of David. It means that he's a king. It says he's a savior, which means that he will deliver us from our death and sin. He is the Christ, the promised one who was foretold in the announcement 700 years before that and even at the beginning of time. It was the plan all along because Jesus is Christ the Lord. And in one statement and in one birth announcement, this angel tells everything that we need to know about Jesus. And everything that is about Jesus is the reason that his birth is good news. He's our King. He's our Savior. He's the one who was promised to us. And he is God. He's God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we've seen his glory. Glory is of the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. No one has seen God, but the one who sits at his right hand, that's Jesus, he has made him known. God said, this is who I am. Look at Jesus. You can know me again. Look at Jesus. You don't have to fear me anymore. Now I can be your joy. Here's Jesus. See why it's such good news? See why it was so foretold about? It was a really, really big announcement. And it was really, really good news. The interesting thing is that sometimes I struggle to believe good news. And I chase after other things. And I think we all do. And I think it's because we don't keep... Like, it's hard to focus on Christ all the time. It's hard to remember who he is, that he's King and he's Savior and he's the Messiah, the Anointed One. He's promised to us that he's the Lord. And did you notice at the beginning of the announcement, he even says, for unto you, he's like talking to the shepherds, for you, this son is born, for you. I forget that is for me a lot of times. I forget that it's real. You know what the angel does after he tells him this such great news? He says, hey, dude, guess what? I know I just told you this stuff, but I can back it up. Here's proof. You'll find him in a manger, and he'll be wrapped in swaddling clothes. Here's proof, bruh. Go see for yourself. And then another bam, to lowly shepherds. God wasn't happy with just one angel announcing the birth of his son. He was a little more excited than that. So he sends a stinking angel army. An army, a multitude. There's no telling. I want to think that it filled up the entire sky. I'm talking like serious last scene of Lord of the Rings kind of moment here, right? the army of God in the heavens to a few shepherds, outcasts, insignificant people. No one cares about them, but God sends an army of angels to announce the good news to a few dirty, nasty, sheep-loving shepherds. Boy, I love our God. I love that it wasn't dependent on how good I was, how wealthy I was, how religious I was, how perfect I was, how much good I did for other people, how devoted I was to him. I'm glad it wasn't those things that he chose to reveal to me himself. I'm glad it wasn't because of that, but because of his great mercy. Jesus says that a well person doesn't need a physician. I don't come for the well, I come for the sick. And I'm here to say that I'm sick and I need Jesus. I need him every day. And he freely gave himself when he came to this earth in Bethlehem. There's proof. In this army, what do they do? What do they say? They start praising God and saying, by the way, like there's no like movies back in the day. We kind of get callous because we see like big shows all the time, like big awesome concerts. And like we lived in the era of Garth Brooks, right? Superstar. I mean, for real. I mean, we've seen some pretty amazing things. We can like get on a telephone, a portable device, and like pull up anything that we want to view. We've seen it all. Could you imagine these shepherds that all they've ever seen is sheep walking together, and all of a sudden they see an angel army that fills up the entire skies, and they start praising God, and they say, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. Do you think it was one of those like jaw drop moments? Like, oh, hey, Bubba, look at that. Could you imagine them getting interviewed afterward? I'll tell you, I'd seen over there, I'd done seen some stuff, and it is angels. And they've got two teeth. This is your classic interview of tornadoes. This is that type of guy. And God appears in an angel army. He says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is well pleased. Now, those two things are big for us. They're really, really big. We can't separate glory to God and peace for man. Now, real quick, it says this. It says with whom he is pleased. There's some older translations that I don't think they got it right. And they say, and peace on, like, to all men, like mankind. No, it's not really translated well in that version. So what this is saying, peace among those with whom he is pleased. So that means not peace to everybody. It sounds kind of harsh, and that sounds like it's not good news for everyone. But we'll get into why that is. We cannot separate what the angels say. Glory to God in the highest, which means, guess what? He receives the highest praise, the highest glory, the most we can give him. Why? Because he's done it. The world was lost, separated from him by sin. And it looked like he was out for the count. There was no way he was going to be able to redeem and save his world, his creation, and his people. But glory to God in the highest, he found a way and he's done it. He became a man so that he could be a substitute for them. So glory to God in the highest and peace. Let me read this. God's purpose is to give you peace. Doesn't that sound good? I already said that this is a little bit of bad news, but let me continue on. God's purpose is to give you peace by being the most glorious person in your life. You hear that? God's glory, your peace. He wants to give you peace by being the most glorious person in your life. What this means is that the peace of God or the peace of Christ can never be separated from God himself and Christ himself. So if we want peace to rule in our lives, God must rule in our lives. Christ must rule in our lives. God's purpose is not to give you peace separate from himself. His purpose is to give you peace by being the most glorious person in your life. He's not going to say, ooh, I'm going to give you some peace. Have some peace over there. Like he's just doling out peace. When I think peace, and this time of year I'm like, a piece of what pie? I love pie. Give me some pie. But he's like, no, I am your peace. In fact, Ephesians 2:14 says that he himself is our peace. He's talking about Jesus. Not that he just gives peace. He is peace in and of itself. He is rest. The opposite of anxiety. The opposite of worry. The opposite of guilt. The opposite of fear. Jesus is peace. And there's no way that we could have peace, the peace of God, rule in our lives if God doesn't rule us. So how can you be a part of the angel's promise that there will be peace among those with whom he is pleased? How can you be one of those in whom he's pleased and receive his peace? You receive the peacemaker. See, Jesus came to make peace between us and God. We were at war. We were his enemy. We had a reason to be afraid too, because he's never lost. He would have crushed us, but Jesus came and said, you know what? I'll take their judgment of guilt. I'm guilty. Call me guilty, not them. Let them go. Pardon them. Jesus came and said, I'm here and I want to die in their place. In fact, God, I want you to judge me instead of judge them. I want to take their fear off of them. I want you to, holy God, to crush me instead of crush them. I'll become your enemy so that they can become your son or your daughter. Do you see how good of news this is? Do you? If he is our peace, then we must say that he is our king, that he is our savior, that he is the one we've been waiting for, our anointed, promised Messiah, deliverer, Christ, and he is our God. And if he is our God, then we can't just go, I'll think about you a couple times a year. I believe that you are real and everything like that, but I don't like some of the things that you're asking me to do. So, I believe in you, Jesus, whatever. Or, yeah, Jesus, I'm in. Take me to heaven. No, what does Jesus say? Follow me. Jesus says, die to yourself. See, to believe in Christ, to receive him as the one who can make peace between us and God, we are saying, not just, hey, Jesus, I'll try to be a good person. Hey, Jesus, I'll think about you this week once or twice. Hey, Jesus, I'll pray more. Hey, Jesus, I'll do some stuff for you. No, it is 100% complete and whole surrender. And what's the promise for you to surrender today? What is the promise if you give up control of your entire life and to submit to Jesus as your Lord? What's the promise? Peace and joy. What is his end of the deal? Wrath and judgment. It seems like you're getting a pretty good deal. Amen? Believe in Jesus. I don't care if you have heard that 1,000 times, church. I want you to hear it every day of every week of every year of your life. Today, believe in Jesus. Believe that this happened. There's proof. Believe that it's still just as good a news of great joy today as it ever has been. Trust him in him as your peacemaker. Follow him as your Lord. What's the shepherd's response? What's the shepherd's response? They took the angels up on their offer, didn't they? So the angels disappear back into heaven. In all of their intelligence, they say, hey, I got an idea. what is it, Bubba? What's the idea? Well, let's go there, that place they told us to go, and see if it's for real. And then so they go. Here's the cool thing. Do you see, is it up there? Which the Lord has made known to us. An angel told them, but who, they understand that the Lord made it known to them. Put yourself in the place of the shepherd. You've never been accepted. You've never had anything. No one cares for you. All you have is a sheep. But the Lord decreed the greatest announcement that's ever been made in human history. You will be remembered and recorded for the rest of eternity. How do you think they felt? The answer is they felt loved. And it's interesting that we've been talking about fear and replacing fear with joy. The angel says, fear not. We talk about peace, that kind of thing. In 1 John, I think it's in chapter 4, it says that perfect love casts out fear. And they were perfectly loved because God is perfect love. And he made it known to them. Once again, people, God's people, the people of peace, are not insignificant to him. Church, we are not insignificant. We're looked at as a bride. Isn't that cool? So let's finish with this. They go, and what do they see? And they went with haste. So they shepherd ran, like Usain Bolt style. They had to be able to chase down wolves. They're fast. Go with it. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. It was true. It was just as the angel said. It was true. Could you imagine how complete their joy felt in that moment? Like, it wasn't just because I've been talking to sheep and I saw something crazy. It really was true. And they saw him. Could you imagine them running up to this, and from a distance, maybe through a gate, they see Joseph and Mary and this baby in a manger. Could you imagine the joy that they felt? No more fear. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. Man, they had to tell somebody, right? And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. So here's Joseph. And this also, we kind of have to assume now that Mary in her labor and her probably screaming has drawn a crowd, right? Probably drawn a crowd. So there's people, other people there. Joseph's with her, who is her soon-to-be husband, right? And so when Joseph and all these other people hear what the shepherds are telling them, they're like, oh, you saw what? And they wondered, man, are those shepherds high right now? I don't know. All they do is hang out with sheep. They're weird. So they wondered and they're going, oh my gosh, this is crazy. How could this happen? And even Joseph, could you imagine Joseph in this moment? I'm sure that there's part of him that's like, oh my gosh, thank God. She didn't cheat on me. All right? Could you imagine the relief that he felt in that moment? He was like, man, I had some two-day-old Taco Bell before I went to bed that night. The angel came to me. It could have been a dream, right? And all of a sudden he goes, whew. But what does it say after that? What does Mary do? The scripture separates her from the rest of the people. This is so cool. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. You know what I think? I think from day one, Mary was the only one who believed that this was really the Son of God, that this really was happening. She was all alone. And she had Joseph, who shared in her ridicule and the rumors that were going around about them in Nazareth, shared in the kind of being alone. But she was really alone, because sometimes Joseph even doubted whether she was telling the truth or not. No one believed her except for her cousin Elizabeth. That was it. And she didn't live in the same city as her. No one would believe her. For 9 or 10 months, all she had done was suffer. She had suffered. And then she made a long trip and she got to Bethlehem and she has a baby in a manger. And even her soon to be husband takes his stepson in his hands and still doesn't look at him with great love and affection because he's still unsure. So when those shepherds come in the door and they look at her and say, "We heard angels and they told us that this baby is God." You know what she did? You know what she did? "Thank you, Lord. I'm not alone anymore. And you have kept your promise to me. You have fulfilled what you have said with me. You are my treasure." And I'm here to tell you that God will not leave you or forsake you. And because of the great announcement of the birth of his son, the savior of this world, his promises are for you too. Because all the promises of God find their yes in Jesus Christ. And today, here and now, I plead with you to believe. I plead with you to believe. Paul says in Romans 15, I think I've got it on the screen. You can throw it up there. "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope." This is my prayer for you today. That the God of hope, the sovereign God who made a plan to send his son for you and for me, for our sake, to die in our place, to live in our place, to give us victory that was his, that he would fill you with all joy and peace in believing. The promise of peace, the promise and joy comes in believing. And so today I invite you to believe. I invite you to believe that he is exactly who the angel said. That you trust that his birth announcement was 100% true. And that you follow him into his death so that you could share in his life. That's hope. That's joy. That's peace. The message of Christmas is this: freedom. Freedom from lifelong slavery that the fear of death has kept you in. The message of Christmas is this: joy. The message of Christmas is this: peace. Church, my challenge for you, if you hear good news, news like this, do what the shepherds did. We see it in the last verse. They left glorifying and praising God. They couldn't deny what they'd seen. They couldn't deny what they'd heard. Their lives were forever changed. They'd met the peacemaker face to face, and God brought them from death to life. They believed, and they went and told people. Simple. That's your challenge, church. Today, if you're here, I've been praying for you all week, by the way, all week long, that today would be the first time you believe in Christ. That you invite and receive the peacemaker into your life. Follow him with everything that you have. Lay down everything that you have. Die to yourself. Sounds pretty hardcore, doesn't it? In exchange, joy and peace and believing. Let's pray.